Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching and preaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome to this Friday's message. God is the ultimate provider of our needs, and there are countless examples and instances throughout the Bible where God has ensured that those who follow him are not in want. Psalm 23 is the scriptural basis of today's message, and Bishop Dag will teach you the various ways that God can and will provide for you. After receiving today's word, I am certain your eyes will be open to recognize God's divine provision in all areas of your life.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, which art in heaven, we really thank you for today. Thank you for an opportunity to receive your holy word. We thank you that the word of God is the most powerful force on earth. And we know that as we expose ourselves to your word, Lord, we are being blessed and we are being healed and changed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we want to turn to Psalm 23, where we will be concluding one segment of our series, I shall not. How many are being blessed by the series I shall not want? That's good. How many can say I shall not want? Powerful. I shall not want. All right. So we want to get to our scriptural basis for this short series, or this long series, I should say. And the basis for this is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over, and surely problems and difficulties shall follow me. Surely unhappiness and accidents. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me at Easter time, Christmas time, on my birthday, weekends. What days? How many days? How many days? How many days is God going to send you goodness and mercies? All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. I shall not want. Say, I shall not want. Say, I shall not want. Now, I want you to let these words be on your lips throughout. I shall not want means I will not have a need. It means I will not have a need. I will not need anything because God is going to provide for me. All right? Now, I gave you four important principles that you must always remember in relation to I shall not want. Principle number one, you must know that God is a provider. Is that not so? And we saw that in the case of Adam, in the case of Noah, Abraham, Jacob, God provided in different ways for different people. All right. Number two, behold the provision, or see what God has provided. Amen. Have you seen what God has provided for you? Have you seen it? All right. See what God has provided for you. See it. Recognize it, use it. All right. Some people have provision. A good example is Africa. We have the provision. The problem of Africa is not one of money. Not at all. If you put back a governor, a British governor in charge of Ghana, and give him 40 years, it's likely, as if they have a real whatever, it is likely that Ghana will become like, it will develop and become like some other place. And it is not the money, because the money is not the issue. Amen. I have said over and over and over again, Africa's problems, I believe Ghana's problems are not because Ghana does not have money or Ghana happened to be left out when God was providing, but God has provided, and it looks as though we are not either seeing the provision and utilizing them. Now, I was listening, watching the news the other day, and I saw one of the ministers of state. I don't know if it's a minister, one of these people, important people. And he was talking about the Ghanaians abroad. And he was saying that they are doing something to harness the Ghanaians who live abroad. And he said, harness the resources of the Ghanaians who live abroad. And he said that the Ghanaians abroad send down money, you know, I mean, they contribute a lot to the economy of Ghana by sending up to $400 million a year. Did you hear that on the news? How many saw that? Yeah. Now, $400 million, the Ghanaians outside to their relatives, to their brothers, to their sisters, and so on. Now, when I heard him saying that, I said to myself, now that is a step in the right direction. Try and really utilize the people who are outside, who are our brothers and sisters, because they are all the Ghanaians. At the end of the day, they know Kumasi, they know this, they know that. I mean, this is their country. And so we as a nation have to see that this is one of the ways by which God is providing for Ghana. To provide for these people. That is why they realized that they had to agree to dual nationality. Because many of these people have got German passports, Dutch passports, British passports, Americans, and so on. Although they are not from there, they had to get all those passports so that they could work there and live there. Green cards and so on. You see, so when we recognize what God has given us in our peculiar circumstance and we start to tap those resources, then for the first time we begin to now, it's like we are now seeing what God has provided for us. And we are now trying to develop that provision that God has for us. Hallelujah. Are you still around? All right, so what's the first principle? See that what? Know that God is a provider. Principle number two is what? See how God has provided for you. Number three, understand how God is providing for you. Through that means, maybe God has provided you with coconut trees, and you must see how the coconut trees are going to, you know, be a great blessing to you. Amen. And what's the fourth one? You must develop and use God's provision for you. So that is what the minister was trying to do. He was trying to develop God's provision for Ghana. Is that not so? The Ghanaians abroad are trying to get them to, you know, do something. If there were big lands where there was no problem and every Ghanaian abroad could say, this is a house you can buy. But the Ghanaians will send money and buy, because many Ghanaians have sent money to Ghana for people to build houses for them. When they, even while they're abroad, they will be sending messages that, oh, the house has reached roofing stage. Oh, the house has reached lintel level. Oh, we have finished the foundation. Oh, we are doing the windows. And they will take pictures of other people's houses and send those pictures to the Ghanaians' brothers and sisters abroad. And then when the people come, sometimes they send pickup. They say, oh, send a tipper truck. When you send a tipper truck, we'll use it to carry the sand and stones for the building to make it cheaper. And then after, it can also be a business. People have sent tipper trucks, pickups, cars, and when they come, there's not even land available. Are you listening to me? So when we do something to welcome back our people, to bring their wealth back home in one way or the other, we will be attracted. Because anybody who sends money back to Ghana It means he's employing some masons in Ghana. It means he's buying water from Ghana Water and Sewage. It means he's buying blocks from a block maker in Ghana. Is that not so? It means that he's buying sand and stones from the quarries in Ghana. It means that he's employing some carpenters, he's employing some laborers. It means he's employing, look, I mean, so nail sellers, even the kenke sellers who have to feed the laborers, and all those people are being paid by the guy in Canada who has sent some money down to build a house in Ghana. You see, so you see the sequence, you understand how God's provision is working. We need to understand that, and I believe that God is going to bless us. So today we come to the final point, how God provides for you. We've talked about it for so long, and we want to just round it all up today with the last. How does God provide for you? Number one, he provides through your father. Is that not so? Through your father whom you have on it. Some people's fathers can leave them inheritance. Some people's parents do not. And so maybe, and you look, how many remember Isaac in the Bible? Isaac had inheritance. Is that not so? And the others didn't have it. So some people are provided for by that method. So how, this is now, we are seeing this is how the different ways. I love it because Abraham had God providing for him through a different method. Isaac, God provided for him through inheritance. Jacob, God provided for him through a very good job. A job where they told him to mention his own wages, his own salary. He should just determine the terms and conditions himself. And he chose the terms and conditions and was accepted fully. If they ask you how much you wanted to be paid, what would you say? Some people, when they ask them that question, they don't know what to say. And they just start to say, oh, anything that you like to give me, I'll just take it like that. No, man. When they ask you, say what you want. Many employers would like to ask that question. What do you want to be paid? It also helps the person who's being employed to say what he thinks he's worth. So when they ask you, how much do you want to be paid, and you don't know what to say, ask the person. So when you look at me, how much do you think I should be paid? Okay. So through your father, like who? Isaac. Is that not so? Number two, through a miracle like the Israelites. Is that not so? A miracle like the Israelites. Number three, through your job. That was Jacob. Is that not so? God may provide for you through a very good job or through the profession that you have. Is that not so? Number four, through your enemies. Did you get that one? God can provide for you through your enemies. Your enemies can be used by God to help you. They can be used by God to help you. So sometimes when people fight against you, it may be painful, but in the end, you may find that God has used them to work for you. Like when we were attacked, we received free publicity. And we suddenly became known. And at least, you see, it's good when the church's name is known, because sometimes you go witnessing and you say, oh, I want to invite you to my church. They say, what church? Angels Delight Ministry. And they'll ask you that, who is the pastor? When was it started? Where is Angels Delight Ministry? You don't know where Angels Delight. So straight away, they wonder whether you are a cult or whether you are a proper church. So when the name of the church is known and you go witnessing, you say, what church do you go to? You say, oh, Lighters. I know the church. The one that was beaten. Is that not so? Okay. Hallelujah. So through your job, I see God giving several good jobs in the name of Jesus. I say, I see God giving you good jobs in Jesus' name. And when God gives you a good job, don't joke with it. There are people who are too proud. You see, most of the provision that God gives is blocked out by pride. Almost every one of them, pride has a way. It looks like our pride tells us the way we think God should provide for us. We feel that this is, and most of us have only one route and one channel.
but which we think God should provide for us. And except you humble yourself, you may find yourself being left out. Yes. Some people work and then they have an attitude like, me, I don't need this job. Me, I can work without the job. When God has given you the job, you've got to be humble. And you all say, look, I need this job and I thank God for the job. I'm going to treat it well and I'm going to do it the best I can do because this is what God has given to me and this is how He's provided for me. Sometimes people are provided for by their husbands or their wives. You marry somebody and that person, through the wealth of that person, God takes care of, oh, me, it's my wife's money. It's not my money. So for every route by which God blesses you, you always have a mind that, no, this is not, it should be this. It's not this, it should be that. Open yourself and allow God to bless you through the method He's going to bless you. Don't let pride. There are people I have tried to help with jobs. And I don't think that I like to do this job. And I've watched them hop from place to place to place to place. And at the point, there's nothing you can do to help anybody. Because you want to help the person. The person doesn't want to be helped. And I don't want people to see me doing such things. In fact, I think that I'm above such. Above what? Don't let your pride turn you into a fool. Yesterday I went somewhere and I saw for the first time something I've not seen in Ghana before. I saw a young man who is planning to go to university in October, November. And he was working as a waiter in a restaurant, or not really a restaurant, like not a bar, but just play serving Coca-Cola drinks and so on. And he's working as a waiter. And he said to me, I'm planning to go to university next year. I'm going to Legon to whatever. As he was standing there with his waiters, whatever, I said, hey, are we in London or something? Because you find that Ghanaians would like to go to London to go and be waiters and so on, but not waiters in their own country. And as I look at this young man, I said, this is something new. Sometimes when God gives you a job, to do a job that will help you on the way to where you are going, then you see people's thing comes. I don't know what it is, it comes. Me, I'm not ever. I have done many jobs. If they give you toilet cleaning, and toilet cleaning is, look, there are people, the job they like to do is to work in a mortuary. Abroad, it's mortuary, because that one, the night and the money is a lot. You just be carrying dead bodies all over the place. When you collect the money, then it's like, yeah. Pride keeps us from what we could be doing on the way to where you are going. On the way. It doesn't mean you'll be there forever. On the way to where you are. My father was a lawyer. And a hotel owner. But at the point, he was a teacher. He was a math teacher. On the way to where he was going, he was a math teacher. On the way to where he was going, he was a math teacher. I've been in charge of entire kitchens. You are in a kitchen? Well, let me tell you my stories. In charge of cleaning the whole kitchen. Big pans like this. I was on the way to where I was going. I've handled various things. On the way to where I was going, it was not a problem for me. Don't let anything be a problem. Even as a pastor, well, it's not everything that I want to do, but even as a pastor, as in a pastoring, there are things, jobs that I've done that you may not even know about. On the way to where you are going, never close the door to any channel by which God will bless you. Let pride, this is what people say about Ghanaians, we are poor and what? Proud. Is there any Nigerian here? Golden. Is that what Nigeria? What do Nigerians say about Ghanaians? You don't know. You better not know, because you better not know, because you are surrounded by Ghanaians. But I've asked several Nigerians, they tell you, they say, we are poor, we are proud. So God will provide for you. Amen. Through a job. Next one, through association with somebody. Is that not so? Through the association with somebody. Like Laban, we went through that. The next one, God can provide for you through traveling. Is that not so? Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, travel, travel. And many Ghanaians have been provided for by traveling outside Ghana. Let's face it. Let's face it. Let's face it. Let's be honest. I have a church member in one of our countries. He walked across the Sahara Desert. I'm not joking. He said there were three of us. Two of them died on the way and I survived. For survival. Today, he doesn't use a Ghanaian passport. And he has his house and his building and so on. And for a person to walk through the Sahara Desert, brother, something is motivating him. Survival. Survival is the greatest motivation of man. To survive. Not food or job, but to survive. I have another brother. He went on a ship four times. And he was thrown out three times into the water. Three times he was thrown out and brought back. And once he was thrown into the water and he swam to the shore. When he got to the shore, he found out he was in Liberia. And then he walked to Ghana. And he went back on the next ship. He said, when I arrived, they didn't catch him right up to the time he got to Amsterdam. He said, when we got to Amsterdam, I walked out of the ship like that. I was through. And I was there. Today he has his flat. I went to his apartment. He has his television, his this, his dad, his wife, his child, etc. Through traveling, he has been provided for. So, you see, some people feel and realize that, or some people feel that it is really through that they will be catered for. And God said, travel. Joseph would never have become a prime minister until he traveled. So sometimes God packages you in a cardboard and sends you to a place where you may not have originally wanted to go. The next one is God provides for you through staying in your own country. Is that not so? Who was the example of that? Isaac. God told him, do not travel. Don't go out. Some people need to stay. Just as you have a whole lot of foreigners coming to Ghana to get a whole lot of things, you have a whole lot of Ghanaians going to other countries. In the same way, you have people staying in their own country. And if God wants you to stay in your own country, stay and prosper. The next one, through your surroundings, through our beaches. Amen. We have beautiful beaches, but we use them mainly as toilets. If we could use our beaches as places where tourists could come. But you wouldn't want to walk on most of our beaches in the night, especially if you are wearing chalewati. I said you wouldn't want to walk on most, you wouldn't want to walk on a Kolegono beach in the night. Pastor, would you like to walk on the Kolegono beach with your Charlie Water in the night? Before you realize, you just... and you say, it is not jelly or rice and stew. It's something. The next one, God can provide for you through your church. Is that not so? Is that not so? God can provide for you through your church. Next one, God can provide for you through meeting a stranger. Did I tell you about that one? All right. God can provide for you by meeting with a stranger whom you have never met up till today. That's why you must be polite all the time. And Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab. Is that not so? Is that not so? And they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the land. All right? And the story goes on. And later on, this woman, Rahab, are you there? Was provided for, her security, her life was provided for by these gentlemen whom she met suddenly. Ladies and gentlemen, the person you probably need to meet, you may meet him suddenly this week. I said you may meet him this week. You may be about to meet the most important person whom God is going to use to be a great blessing to you in December. So be open. Anyone you meet, just be kind, be polite. You see, sometimes the way we behave in shops, when you are working in a shop, and then somebody comes to buy, do you have Milo? Is there? Do you have what? Do you have Cerelac? Is there a shelf there? Is it there? Go and look and see if it's there. And the way we behave when we meet strangers, you don't know who you are talking to. I said you don't know who you are talking to. You may be surprised to find out that that person may be a very important person who could be a great blessing to you. So when you come up across a stranger, take your time, because sometimes very important people are very unassuming. Very unassuming. You may not know. Reverend Steve Manson was telling me, he was in our church in London, and he was saying that when you see Pastor Richard, you would think that he's one of the ashes. He just walks around normally. He's just moving around. And so what he wears is, he looks just like the ashes. So when you come into the church, you will not even know whether he's the usher or whatever. Then, until they tell that's the pastor of the church. That's the pastor pastoring over 1,000 people in London, with more than 10, 11 branches, with branches all over, sending missionaries to Australia, Austria, and all over. But it just looks like that. So you come and say, hey, excuse me, get out of the way. Say, I'm looking for the pastor. You have to, after you've pushed him aside, I'm looking for the pastor. You have to tell her, say, this is the pastor. Oh, I was actually looking for you. I'd like to meet you. I'm sorry for hitting you. You know, I just thought that, you know, Autria, you are now seeing that he's the pastor. So gently, you don't know who you are talking to. I said, you don't know who you are talking to. You may not know who the person is. As you start to deal with the person, you are a nurse. A patient comes to the ward. She's coming to deliver. Where's your card? Where's your card? Go and bring your card. Maybe you don't know that it's a minister of happiness wife. Minister of happiness. The minister who brings happiness to Ghana, his wife, and she's come to deliver, and you don't even know who she is because you don't know the wives. Where's your car? Do you have a park? Shouting in the open. Where's your park? Go and bring it. Do you have a car? Don't you know you should bring a car? But sister, before you realize, you have thrown away many blessings. I know people who interacted with strangers. The way they talk with them, they didn't know they were talking with a multi-millionaire. Then after the person said, I like the way you handled me. I want to give you a job. I'm going to pay 10 times what you are being paid. I know people in this church like that. I can point out to you and say, this person, he, the way he handled somebody, that is what made the people relate with him and take him. I know people who have even gone abroad because of the way they related with the customer. And the pastor says, I paid your school fees. I pay this. Bye-bye. It's my blessing I can do for you. I am telling you real thing. I know people who on the ward, the way they handle their patients, open doors to earn so much and get so many blessings. So God can provide for you through the next stranger. Anybody in this church who is an attendant at a shop from today, look, have a smile. Have a smile, even though you are not going to get a commission. And even though you are not being paid well, have a smile. Because through that job, you'll be surprised. Let me tell you, you are four steps away from the most important person that you need to see. So, decide. Have a, don't have that sulky face. And she's there. Did she tell you to come? Come tomorrow. Yeah, how we hear come tomorrow? Next week. Sometimes when you answer the phone, hello? Who? Juana? Hey, Juana? Oh. Sometimes I speak to people, oh, is it Bishop? Oh, hello, Bishop. Otria, you are announcing that it's Bishop. The real you has come out there and said, oh, Bishop. Is there a stranger sitting next to you right now? Find out if there's any strange person sitting next to you right now. Tell the person, introduce yourself, I'm stranger, or say, or stranger, whatever. I may be the next blessing to you you need. Hey. Hello. Are you still there? All right. The next one, God can provide for you through a relative. A relative, a family relation, like Abraham and Lot. Lot's father was dead. Haran, I believe, was his name. His father was dead, and his uncle looked after him. His wafa. Oh, is that not how you say it? His wafa looked after him. So maybe your father may not look after you. Maybe your mother may not look after you. But your wafa may look after you. Or maybe your relative may look after you. And God may be providing for you through that relation. Open your heart. Don't say that, may this relatives and other things, I don't like the way they treat me. One school fees that we go and collect, we go and wait a long time in the house, and I don't like such things. God may be providing for that. Is how God may, because maybe God knows that maybe your father is not going to be around. It is through the warfare, through that relative, that God is going to provide for you. So be humble. Once again, humility is the key to God's provision, it seems. Humility. And in Ghana, we don't have any social security system, really. Security of the social system. There's nothing like that. Our social security is in our relations. We don't have old men's home and old women's home, old people's home. We don't have anything like that. All we have is our relatives. We don't have unemployment benefit. The unemployment benefit is in our relatives. When we are not employed, our relatives feed us. Anamibwa. Yeah. Angie, is it not true? That's our relatives. Feed us. You can't die in Ghana. Somebody will look after you. By all means, somebody will feed you. You can't easily die. Not easily. So God will provide for you through relatives. Amen. But He may not choose to provide for you through relatives. He may choose to provide for you through your job. And when He's providing for you through your job, don't say, I'm waiting for my uncle to die. When my uncle dies, I know that I'm going to inherit certain things that all my life will change. You don't wait for inheritance. And it is evil to be calculating things when people are alive. It's a very bad thing. How do you calculate when somebody... You know, I had a friend, she was telling me, she said, We were in the house and these relatives came from the village and they were sitting down in the sitting room and they discussed every item in the hall. They said, this one is for me. When he dies, this one. This one said, this one, the television is for me. The carpet. This one, the chairs. They shared everything. An uncle that they've come to visit from the village. Really, it was real discussion. It's very serious. But that's how some people's minds are. Waiting for death. Waiting for inheritance. And when you inherit, because you've never worked and you don't know how to work, you will not even know how to use it. I told you about the man who inherited a house with air conditioners. What did he do to the air conditioners? He took the air conditioner to the drinking bar. And he put the air conditioner, he put one air conditioner at the bar, and he told this thing that all his bills, he should just credit it to the air conditioner. And he drank the whole air conditioner away. And that is how he drank all the air conditioners in the house, until he drank the whole house away. How can you drink away an air conditioner? So God is going to provide for you through that. Next one, God will provide for you through a supernatural gift. Maybe you've got the ability to pray. Maybe you've got the ability to preach. Maybe you've got the ability to prophesy. Whatever ability, maybe to sing. And that is the way God is providing for me through the gift that he has given me. I am not being provided for by medicine, by my profession. I'm being provided for by my supernatural gift. That is how I live. I live off my gift. That is how God has provided for me. Everything that I do because I'm provided for through the gift that God has given me. And some of you, that is the way by which God is going to provide. So, I don't want to be paid by the church. Oh, don't struggle with God. If you don't want what God is providing for you, do what you want to do. It's easy. Just do whatever you want to do. But God has said, behold, see that I have provided for you. Don't complain. Nobody in Ghana should complain from today. Don't point your finger to the white man. Don't say the white man has stolen from us and colonized us and enslaved us. We are Africa, and black people are not the only people who were enslaved. Other tribes and other nations all over the world have been enslaved before. Other countries have had war. Other countries have had all these things. Even America have had that before. So, ladies and gentlemen, we always want somebody to blame. Adam and Eve, when they got into trouble, Adam said, the woman you gave me, you know, I was here and I had no problems. You brought a woman. And the woman said, the serpent you put in the garden. And then they went to the serpent, and the serpent had no one to refer to. So he took the first knock. But even when you refer, it doesn't mean the blame doesn't come to you, because after God dealt with the serpent, he came to Eve and he said, yes, you, this and that and that, and he dealt with her. Then after that, he came back to Adam. So as God took the thing, he said, the woman, and then the woman said, Eve. When God dealt with Eve, he came back and he dealt with the woman, and then he dealt with the man. So pointing fingers does not exonerate you. Saying that it's external factors does not impress anybody. I'm not impressed by external factors. I don't believe that it's external factors. I believe that external factors are real, but it's internal factors. I would say 80% internal factors. In fact, 98% internal factors and 2% external factors is the cause of our problem. Not just from today, but for all these years, as we depend, not just for today, we depend on gifts, handouts. As a country, can you imagine if I stand and say, we have appealed to the Catholic Church to give us money. We are expecting money, a gift from Methodist Church, expecting a gift from a church in Denmark, expecting a gift from a church in Holland, expecting a gift from a church in Germany, so that our church can come. How? It's very serious. And so God is saying that as a nation, we can rise up, and we have to be able to rise up to look after ourselves. I mean, we pointing fingers and say, this woman, you gave me this and that. No. It's time for us to say, it is my fault. I can do it. I'm not blaming anyone. Don't blame anyone. If you don't want the provision God has provided you, just be quiet. Somebody was telling me, you know, in the Far East, an island. She said, the island has got on the beaches one row of hotels after the other. It's just hotel after hotel. The people just live behind the hotels. That's how God has provided. Just the beaches and the sea. That's all. When I was in Malaysia, I flew to an island called Penang Island. Look, the hotels, when you drive on the road like that, it's just one after the other by the beach. One after the other. All that they have is the sand and the sea and the beach. And it is just like Ghana. They don't have winter. They don't have anything. It's just tropical. When I walked to those hotels, I said, look, our Labadi Beach Hotel, they are like, what can I say? They are like some minor guest houses compared to those places. That's what they have. That's also what they have. They have the beach. They have the sea. And people come and they build hotels. And people, we are breaking hotels. The next one is what? Through nature. That's what I just talked about. The next one is through the animals and the nature. Hallelujah. And the next one is through your husband and your wife. Amen. And the next method by which God provides for you is through something that is not your profession. Something that is not your profession. Hallelujah. Something that is not your profession. What you learn in school. Hallelujah. And the next method by which God, and who was the best example of that? Who was the best example of God providing someone? He went to school, he learned something, and God provided for him with another thing. Who is the best example of that? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Jesus. What was Jesus' profession? He was a carpenter. How did he survive? Through his preaching. So that's the best example. Amen. Okay. The next example is through marriage and through your husband, through your wife, God provides for you. And the next one is through the mercy and the kindness of someone. We are just ending with the last point here. Through the mercy and the kindness of someone whom you may meet. Ruth chapter 2, if you wouldn't mind, turn with me. Some people don't know why Ruth is there. Ruth was the mother, the grandmother of David, and the great-grandmother of Solomon. So anytime you are looking for Ruth, just go to Samuel, which is where David and Co. come in. And just before Samuel, you will find Ruth, who was David's grandmother. You get it? So the Bible is arranged in that order. It's a very orderly book. Okay? So just find 1 and 2 Samuel, where you have the stories of David and Solomon, the king. It comes in Kings. All right? Just before that, you always find Ruth. Because otherwise, you find it difficult to find Ruth. Am I helping you? You won't even say thank you. You see? Well, I'm grateful. God is providing for you through your pastor. You don't even see. Now, Ruth chapter number 2. And Naomi, do you know the story of Ruth? You know the story of Ruth? Ruth was somebody's daughter-in-law. Her husband died, and she came to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Is that not so? Is that not so? And what happened when she got to the town? She found someone who was kind to her. All right? And let's read Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. Do you have batteries there? Come and change it for me, please. It's not low battery. It's okay. It's not from the battery. Okay. Well, it's got to work. Amen. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's and a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. Everybody say Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she went, verse 3, and gleaned the corn. Verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with thee. Verse 5, then Boaz said to his servant, who was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came by Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and has continued even from the morning until now. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here and here fast by my maidens. Amen. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go down after them. Hallelujah. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered unto her and said, it hath been fully showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one unto thine handmaidens. Verse number 4. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, listen carefully, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Everybody underline those three words, handfuls of purpose. It's a very important phrase, handfuls of purpose. In other words, handfuls were to fall on purpose for her. And leave them that she may glean, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said, where hast thou gleaned today? And where thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last point. In fact, there are 2 points. The next point is through what? What did I give you? Through the mercy and kindness of someone. And the very last point is through the reaping of an act of kindness that you have made in the past. All right, because you can reap suddenly today some kindness that you showed somebody some years ago. It can just show up tomorrow, and suddenly your blessing will just arrive, and you'll be surprised. And man, I never even thought about this. But somebody remembered you from somewhere and just decided to be a blessing to you and remembered some kindness that he showed. All right. I also left out a principle, through the principle of this or that, or principle of sowing in the morning, evening seed, and morning seed, all right? But let's quickly look at Ruth's, these two principles which apply to Ruth, through the mercy and kindness of someone, and through the reaping of an act that you may have shown to somebody. Now let me tell you, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Ruth was a woman who looked at her mother-in-law as her mother-in-law came and buried 2 of her children in Moab. And this woman was going, you know, her husband died, and her sons died one after the other, until she had had 3 funerals, 3 wakekeepings, 3 of that thing, 3 times. She changed her name to Bitterness. She called herself Mrs. Bitterness, or Miss Bitter. And as she was going, Ruth said to her, your God will be my God. Have you heard that before? Yes. Your people will be my people. I will die where you die. I will go where you go. And I will even be buried where you'll be buried. I'm not leaving you, mother-in-law. And the woman said, are there any more sons in my womb? You're a young woman. I mean, you get somebody. I mean, people divorce and they get remarried. People marry at the age of 40, 50, 60, 70, and so on, even at the age of 80. I was listening to the news the other day, and somebody married when he was 86 years old, and he married a prostitute, and he gave her half of his fortune for marrying her, even though there was a difference of age of about 60-something years. You know, so it's never too late to marry. Amen. Oh, tell the person it's never too late. Why are you looking at the pastor like that? It's never too late. Now listen. How did God provide for Ruth? Through somebody who decided to be kind to her. You know, he told the people in the field, when you reap it, don't take or leave intentionally some handfuls of peppers on the floor. So that when she comes, she thinks she's working. But I just want to be kind to her so that she can just pick it up and she thinks that she's giving it. Because if the guys did their work properly, there'll be nothing left for her. Of very little. God, she was going after the reapers to take any leftover. And the man said, leave some handfuls of peppers for her. Kindness. Somebody just decided to be kind to her. Somebody. Maybe you meet somebody and the person just takes an interest in you. You know, like the child who was born on top of the tree in is it Mozambique? Where the country which had the floods? I think the child is now a millionaire. He's an American citizen and just by being born on a tree. Somebody decided to be kind to that child. And the guy is famous. You see, people can take... Look, that's why I say, as you meet people, don't be angry. Don't be, you know, like some people, they're just there. Have a smile on your face. Be friendly. Ask your friend, your nearest friend, am I a friendly type of person? Somebody could just show an interest in you and show you such kindness. People could just look at you and say, I'm giving you a contract. What's going on over there? They are asking each other whether they are friends. Okay, ask your friend whether he's friendly. What are they saying? Handfuls of peppers. I said handfuls of peppers. Some handfuls on purpose were given. He said, let me choose. And you see, that is God. God can choose to favor you. In my position, I can choose to favor anybody I want to favor. I can choose to. I can decide that I want to show favor to this person. Period. It's just like that. And many people in positions of authority, like Boaz, he could decide, oh, look, this girl, just be nice to her. Drop things on the floor. Just drop them. Drop. So when she comes, she's looking. Then she comes and she sees the thing. She says, oh, in fact, God has blessed me. But God has blessed her through somebody who has just decided to be kind to her. Yeah. So don't turn away kindness when it's coming your way, because kindness comes. There is real. There are a lot of people who don't know what to do with their money. There are a lot of people who can just open a door. Look, let me tell you something. This, to get a visa to America, to get a green card, to get whatever. Look, there are some people, if they take an interest when they say, as I am going, I have decided that maybe I'm accepting you. There are people who say, okay, I've decided that I'm giving you this. There are people who say, I decide that. Oh, man, brother. You'll be surprised. Favor, the Bible says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whichever way he wants to turn it. Sometimes, that's why I say, when you have a chance to be kind to somebody, be kind. Because one day, there's something, you see, whatsoever a man sows, you reap it. It may turn around. Maybe somebody, you paid somebody's school fees. Maybe you love somebody. Maybe you helped somebody. Maybe you just opened a door for somebody. You'll be surprised. Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. So. When I was in Colombia preaching, I preached to a crusade where there were 100,000 people. You know, when I walked into that crusade, I didn't organize the crusade. The people organized the crusade. Several other people were supposed to preach. But it ended up, when I preached the first night, in the end, but as I was entering the crusade, and by the end of the crusade, the whole crusade was for me. For 5 nights, 100,000 people, around that sort of figure, were there. Organized with, you know, the TV screens, big like this board here, all over. Can you imagine what it costs to rent such a stadium? And the stadium, it's the levels, very high. It's like our Crasport Stadium times many times more. Yeah, Crasport Stadium. Even the renovated one. Even the renovated one. But you know, as I walked into the crusade, God spoke to me in my hotel room. And he told me, you have organized crusade for people all these years. I've been organizing the crusade for Reverend Saki all through this year. I've never preached at a crusade before. I am the crusade organizer, director. I'll get trucks, I'll get cars, I'll get people to give money, organize money, chairs, raise funds, organize the crusade. God said, I've also organized a crusade for you. God, there's a principle in the word, whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap it. It's real. It's real. And this girl, the kindness that she showed us a very spectacular kind of favor to her mother-in-law. Said, I will stay with you. I'll be with you. It's okay. You are old. You will die as a widow. I will be in the house with you. I don't care. I'm not going to have a husband. I'm some way, everything. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be with you. And God said, take it back. Now her name is in the Bible even. How many would like your names to be in the Bible? Some of your names are already in the Bible, but it's after, you know. Maybe the next Bible will have some Kofis and Kwamis in the Bible. Kwame chapter 4 verse 3. How many are blessed with I shall not want? How many feel that you shall not want in this life? How many are beginning to see how God is providing for you? How many realize that he is a provider? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Remember, behold, I have provided. I have provided. See it. Walk in it. Let pride be a thing of the past. Be humble. Flow in it. However he provides for you, take it. Flow in it. Walk in it. God is looking after you. Through somebody's kindness, your father, through your mother, through a friend, through your job, through the nature, through trees, through relative, through marriage, through every kind of opportunity, God is your provider. I shall not want. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. And you may stand to your feet. I wanted Pastor Eddie to teach us this song before we finish, but I always forget. Jehovah Jireh. Do we know how to sing it? Let's all sing it.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
My God!
My God shall supply all our need. Into his riches in glory. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Jehovah Jireh, care for thee. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace.
I see God providing husbands and wives.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need. According to his riches in glory, he shall give his angels charge. Jehovah Jireh, care for me, Jehovah Jireh, care for me.
Hallelujah. Lift your hand and thank him.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me.
Father, I pray for your people that you supply, that this scripture will be true in our life, that we'll be able to say that I shall not want, because you are a provider for us in so many ways.
I worship you, Father. We welcome you into this church. We welcome you to the lives of your people. We welcome you, Lord, to provide for us in any way that you see fit and you feel is the right way for us. We welcome you, Lord. Let your will be done, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you want to be born again, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you very quickly. Just lift it up high. God bless you. Upstairs, at the back, wherever. Pastor, pray with me. I want to go to heaven. I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. Lift it up high. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front here and I'm going to pray with you as we close. Just come from the back. If you raise your hand, just come to me right here. I'm going to pray a special prayer with you as we close this service today. I surrender all. God bless you. I surrender all to Jesus, all to thee, my blessed Savior.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind.